I was shocked and horrified the first time anyone suggested to me that we choose our parents. But I was still in the whining and blaming phase. I didn't choose to be born, and she's responsible for everything, and I'm embarrassed how long that period of time lasted in my life. Since then, I have come to believe that we kind of plan out the broad strokes before we come into human form, based on the belief that eternal life means we were alive and as spiritual beings before this. We've taken bodies for a while and we'll be spiritual beings again. We're spiritual beings having a human experience. And maybe we chose our parents. You don't have to believe that in order to participate today. But it's an interesting question. Why would you have chosen the mother you had? So I thought we might share some of our mother stories, because we are who we are because of and in spite of our mothers, and sometimes against their best efforts. And I don't intend to bash mothers or glorify mothers. Just consider why you might have chosen the mother you had. So I'll start, because mine's easy. I chose my mother for words. She was an English teacher. She loved books. She loved words. She loved grammar. I can tell you just one story about her, and this tells you everything you need to know about my mother. I was grown, and I didn't witness this. She told this story on herself, but she was visiting my brother in Dallas and was walking up the outside stairs to his apartment, and she fell and really banged up her knee, which was not a good knee anyway. So she ended up in the emergency room, where the nurse kept saying, "Now, Blanche, just lay back. Just lay back." And she couldn't stand it. She said, "Honey, it's lie back. You lie back." She said, "As a nurse, you must say this to patients all day long. You need to say it correctly." So yes, there was some dysfunction in the family I chose. There was some therapy after the family. But what a perfect setup for someone who now writes and speaks to help others function in life. I use words to tell you what I've learned in the hope that it might help you. So it was a wonderful launching pad for me. And I can imagine my soul planning this life and saying, "That couple right there, the English teacher and the radio announcer in Texas, I'll take them." So whether you believe you chose your mother or not, she, to a large extent or a little extent, set you up for who you are and the life you have now. So why did you choose the mother you have? I'm going to sit down while we talk.
My mother is a very talented person, and I delude myself that I'm talented as well. She's always encouraged me to do practically everything that I wanted to do. Fortunately for her, I never took up bagpipes or drums. I don't think she would have been too thrilled with that. But I have to give her a great deal of credit for where I am today because of her encouragement.
You know, it's hard to choose if you had a mother that was really, really special. But I remember when I could barely talk, barely understand, my mother saying, "You remind me of Jesus. You're so gentle and so kind." And that seed planted deep in a little kid's heart is just the beginning of something really, really wonderful. You can go way off on a tangent, but you'll always come back when you know that love, when the love of Christ is given to you in love, in such deep sincerity. You know, I have believed, there was a point in my life when I got to the point where I said, "Well, what Jesus is teaching is cool. If we could all do that, man, just imagine the world we live in." But hey, he was God's son. It's not possible for a human being to do that. And then God showed me my mother. She showed me, the Spirit showed me unconditional love. And that's all I got. I could say a lot more, but somebody else might want to talk.
My mom was soft, she was beautiful, she was kind, she was loving, she showed that unconditional love. And she
Laurie, hold that up close.
Best cook in the whole world. But I want to talk about my son, because when I first moved here 22 years ago, I was in a relationship that was ending, and it got pretty loud sometimes, and I was on my way to work with my son in the car, and I was crying and begging him to forgive me for being such a terrible mother and dragging him through what he'd been going through. We were on Wood Creek Drive, and he looked at me and he said, "Mom, please don't say that." He said, "You are the best mom in the world. Don't you know I picked you to be my mom when I was with God?" I'd never even heard that concept until maybe just a couple weeks before. I don't know where he heard that, except maybe right home where he came from.
Aww. Who else? A secondary question, if you're a mother, is why'd your kids choose you? You can answer that one instead if you want to. Doyle.
Well, I was quite a challenge to raise.
No.
My mother was very patient. And she was a police officer, so she probably is the only thing that kept me out of prison, was knowing that I had to answer to my mother. And anyway, so she was a great mom.
That's one way to stay on the straight and narrow. Choose a mother who's a cop. Julie. Couple of hands up here. Julie.
Well, probably as some of y'all know, I lost my mom this year. And she was more than a mom. She was my best friend. And I chose her because she represented, I think, joy and adventure. She was very adventurous and very courageous. An example of that was she was trying to get across the country during World War II, but all the flights were reserved for military personnel. So she conspired with a travel agent, and she became a lieutenant at that time, and put on a military uniform and flew across the country to be with my, to be dad, who was shipping out the next day out of San Diego. And so she had to get there to say goodbye and that she loved him and everything, to come back. And so she was very adventurous and very fun.
We have two versions here, so I'll do mine first. I think I chose my mother because I was inclined to be very planning, organized, sober, not much fun. But she was full of adventure and courage and would back you up in anything you wanted to do. And so that kind of balanced me out.
Our mother had so much regard for her children and built our self-esteem so much that when she said to us, "You stupid idiot," we took it as a compliment. I've since learned that other people don't feel that way about it.
We did learn to speak good English in that house. I mean, if anybody heard us use anything wrong, somebody hollered from the back of the house what it was correct.
Just want to add to that, my mother was also a stickler for grammar, and I remember we lived in the country, which just irked her because it was the country, Magnolia, Texas. And I remember this guy coming over, a friend of mine, and he came to the door and he says, "Miss Bradbury, where's Judy at?" And she said,
"Oh no,
between the A and the T." She was a love.
This is a story about my daughter. When she was about 4 years old, she said to me, "Mommy, I was supposed to be with another mother, but I was a little spirit and I was just flying around and I saw you and Daddy and I decided I wanted to be with you." So I don't know where that came from, but it was just spontaneous.
I have the world's greatest mom. My mom was a most beautiful person in the world. And I'll give you a good example. I have a picture of me somewhere with a little pin on a suit where I got a five-year pin for going to Sunday school. That was really hard to do because I was an old country boy and I didn't want to go. But she took me to Sunday school every Sunday, and I have that five-year pin. And the thing about it is that my mother taught me about the Spirit of God and the Spirit of Jesus, and she lived that example.
Judy, way in the back.
I picked my mother for her generosity and her love. She was a giver, and she cussed like a sailor, but she was a lot of fun. But I remember countless nights of staying up late to make food for people during Thanksgiving and Christmas, and my mom always did that. She always took control of that to make sure everybody in the community was taken care of, and her heart was just open to everybody, and it was just full of love. And love you, Mom.
Andrea.
I chose my mother so that I could learn to be non-judgmental and accept everyone for who they are and where they are, and to show everyone love and understanding and compassion.
While Judy's walking, I'll just say, sometimes there's some extreme dysfunction in families, as you know, and it may have been a launching pad for who we are and where we are now, for the healers that we've become. Or I heard a guy on Unity FM, one of the hosts, talking about his mother. He used to pray she would not come to his school plays and games because she would be drunk. And she still is drinking. He's probably 40 now. And he talked about how she was the right mother for him, and talked about what he'd learned from that situation, and particularly how independent he is because he didn't have her to lean on. So, you know, we may have chosen for some reasons like that, too.
And on that note, gives me the freedom to say what I'm going to say.
Okay, good.
I believe that in every generation, you try as a mother to give to your children what you didn't have growing up.
Mm-hmm.
So my mother had a really difficult childhood, but she taught me how to survive. And I have taught my three boys how to thrive. And my oldest son is 26 today, his birthday, and he just passed his defense for his doctorate in engineering on Friday.
Right.
Against five PhDs. He had to plead his case, and he passed. So my children are thriving. And so sometimes what we don't have, we end up paying it, giving forward.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully my children will give on to their children.
I chose my mom to show me how good it feels to give to others unconditionally, and just how much reward you get in that. My mom never really had to work. She was always taken care of by my father or my stepfather. And later on, she took a job as taking care of her best friend who had multiple sclerosis until she passed away. Then after that, she took a job in a nursing home in the laundry section, which you can imagine is probably the worst job inside of a nursing home. And she loved it. She just absolutely loved it. And I asked her why. And she said, because it needs to be done, somebody needs to do it, and it's a real service. And she would take her breaks. While the people were taking cigarette breaks, she would go up and talk with the 80-year-old women that were up there just to give them somebody to talk to. And yesterday at the men's breakfast, Ron Steele had a really good, really touching story for us, and I thought about it a lot on the way home. And so I called my mom yesterday, and she kind of answered the phone like, what's wrong? Because I don't know why you're calling me today. And so I told her, I said, tomorrow's going to be Mother's Day, and you know, obviously I'm going to call and say Happy Mother's Day, but it's the day before, and I don't have to call. I just wanted to say thank you for everything that you've done. And then I started crying. So, Ron, you didn't give me a heads up on that one. Like, I could have pleased you. But so I just challenge everybody that, you know, today maybe moms are expecting the Happy Mother's Day call or whatever, or the card. But maybe tomorrow would be a good time to call and say, okay, yesterday was the obligatory call, and now I want to tell you really, you know, thank you.
My mother taught me how to get up early in the morning and start working because she was a very devoted Catholic. And on the weekends, we had six of us and we didn't have a lot of money, but she would get up early on Saturday mornings and pack a big lunch and we would go out into the forest and spend the whole day. And so she taught me a lot about loving Mother Nature and really getting into Mother Nature. And another thing she taught me, which I didn't really think that it would come to fruition in Unity, but the whole thing kind of clicked for me, was tithing, the law of tithing. Hmm. We didn't have very much money, and my mom would sneak money to the church behind my dad's back because she didn't want him knowing that part of his paycheck was going to the church. But she felt that devoted and that committed to giving to the church. And so, and in a way, it kind of played itself out because even though we didn't have a lot of money, everything always seemed to work out for us. And when David and I are tithing regularly, it seems like everything works out for us. So it's kind of weird that it all came full circle.
Yeah.
Ron's got his hand up in the back. Maybe he'll tell us the touching story.
Oh, we have enough Kleenex here?
I think we do. That's why we keep him in here.
My mother is not doing well today. She's in a nursing home, and she's got dementia very bad. But she always remembers that she has children. She just doesn't remember their faces or remember them in person. And as I look back growing up, there's memories that are good and bad in growing up in my situation. But I always remember that my mother was there for me. And some of my brothers and sisters today tell me that I was always the favorite. And I don't know if that's true or not, but they also say that about my dad, that I was a favorite. And I never felt myself as being a favorite. I just let things go as they would. But remembering my mother and some of the times that she had raising children, you know, I'd have to give my, you know, hats off to mothers because they all do their best, you know, in their own particular situations. And I think all of us should take a moment to just realize that and give them the respect that they deserve.
If there's any question as to whether or not we actually choose our parents, I had a very slim chance of making it here with the pair I got. These are my two dads, and I have a mom and another mom also. So I think I chose my mom because she's resourceful and creative and has a strong back. And I think my girls picked me because I had this crazy woman who was resourceful and had a strong back. And they're going to have to face a whole new set of challenges and acceptance and what is going to be the world. And I was exposed to that much earlier. So I was able to gain a different view on life and what a level of acceptance and humanity and love and what that looks like. So I had a little of the birdcage and a little of Mommy Dearest. And and at the end of the day, when the Schmecken beckons, I have another mama too.
I chose my mother so that I would leave home and find my own way to God, and so that I would become an incredibly strong mother. And my son chose me. I was going to not cry through this. My son chose me. Because he knew he wasn't going to live long. And that we, now that he's on the other side, he died 3 months ago. He was 7 and a half. He's my only child. And he chose me because
because we have a gift to give the world, and we are going to work together with him on the other side and me on this side. And that's why we had those 7.5 years together. And I feel very fortunate to have a relationship with him on the other side, and that I get to live my life now giving the gift that he wants me to give.
Wow. Thank you. One more?
Listening to all these stories, I was sitting here reflecting, and my son and my mom are more alike than I ever realized. They're both, my mom died in 2001, but I realized they're both are very old souls, even though my son only has a 20-year-old body. And they're both very Christ-like. They were both always very Christ-like, even, like I said, my son only has a 20-year-old body. And so that's I think I picked my mom because she was always correcting our grammar, though she wasn't the English teacher I am. And maybe that's what I was to learn from her.
Yeah.
And my son's middle name was Christian. I guess that's why I named him that.
See, you always get warmed up right when we run out of time. One more.
Well, I was thinking of my mother, who lived to be 98, and she was playing the piano for happy hour the week before she died. And she started playing the piano at church when she was 11. And so all those years she played, she was on the bench. And she gave me my love of music, my joy in music, and all three of my daughters majored in music. So that thread is just the greatest life-giving flow that I'm grateful to my mother. Thank you.
Okay, well, let's try meditating on mothers. When we meditate, we become quiet and still and turn within to that place in us where we know our connection to all that is. We are grateful for all the souls traveling with us through this human experience, but especially for those that we chose as mother, who chose us as children, and the children who chose these mothers. In generation after generation, we love and fight and work through what we came to learn for our soul's growth. And there's probably no greater soul gift than to play the roles of mother and child for each other. And so on this Mother's Day, we are simply grateful. No matter what happened, no matter how it turned out or how it was, mothers who were saints and mothers who struggled, we are grateful to have shared their soul's journey, to be sharing the journey of our mothers and our children. Whatever form our families took, whatever families we have created here for ourselves, we're grateful for the mother qualities, the nurturing, the love, the guidance. Grateful for those qualities wherever we find them. And so for our physical mothers, as well as those who have nurtured us and those we nurture, we say, thank you, God. And so it is. Amen.